Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, and you can follow along on the back of your bulletin. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and follow Jesus along the road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm so glad that I was invited to be with you here this morning. Sorry for the reasons that your pastor has to be away, but it sounds like perhaps things are on the mend, and we'll keep that in our prayers, and I will keep that in my prayers. This powerful little story about Bartimaeus from the Gospel of Mark holds a treasure for us Christians. In a way, it's a linchpin, the key to our understanding of what it means to be a disciple. Three aspects of this story have an impact on Bartimaeus' life. First, though he is blind, Bartimaeus sees. As Jesus passes by, Bartimaeus understands who Jesus is, and he calls to him for mercy. Second, Bartimaeus asks something of Jesus. He asks Jesus to heal him, and Jesus restores his sight. Third, Bartimaeus responds. He follows Jesus. This is one of the stories in Scripture that invites us to do midrash, which is filling in the gaps with our imagination. So let's do a little midrash here with this story. The blind beggar, Bartimaeus, sat in the dust just outside of Jericho, wrapped in his cloak, his only possessions beyond the clothes he wore. Timaeus can be translated as honor, and Bar means son. So this beggar, Bar Timaeus, is descended from honor, and ironically now blind and poor, sits in the dust begging, waiting for Jesus. Bartimaeus is in sharp contrast to the rich young ruler who was seen seeking Jesus back in an earlier verse, verse 17 of Mark. Now, Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus of Nazareth would be traveling this road on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus knew the road. He knew how to get near the road. And as many blind people do, he could find his way. So he waited there in the darkness of his world. He was listening for murmurs in the crowd that would tell him Jesus was coming. He'd heard that Jesus was healing people. He'd healed, actually, a blind man over in Bethsaida. It was an outside chance, but maybe this Jesus could heal his blindness. He felt a stir of excitement in the air, a rustling of motion, as people moved to get a better view of the road. The sound seemed to be removing in the direction where Bartimaeus knew Jerusalem was. It was muffled by the robes of many people who had pushed out into the road, leaving just a narrow path so that they could see Jesus as he passed. And now these people stood between Bartimaeus and the group that was passing on the road. How would he get Jesus' attention? Standing men crowded around him. Bartimaeus' head was swimming with anxiety. Suddenly he felt overwhelmed with a sense of presence. And then with a wild urgency, he had to get to Jesus. Then he had a sense of assurance. Clear as a bell in his mind, he knew what to do. Bartimaeus saw who this Jesus of Nazareth was, and suddenly he knew Jesus could heal him. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," he called. Shh! Several people around him tried to silence him. Oh, what if Jesus could not hear him? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Shut up. This sounded like more than a few people determined to silence him. Bartimaeus felt a surge of determination. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need you." The scuffling of a crowd walking by sounded like it was moving beyond him. Was all lost? No. The motion stopped. Then Bartimaeus heard a voice, "Call him here." Bartimaeus leaped up, throwing down his precious cloak. Now friendly hands took his arm to guide him to Jesus. Whispers, "Take heart." The words between Bartimaeus and Jesus were personal. "What do you want me to do for you?" "My rabbi, let me see again." "Go, your faith has made you whole." Bartimaeus immediately regained his sight and followed Jesus along the way he acted. When has seeing something spurred you into action? We see a child rushing toward the curb and as a speeding car rounds the corner, and we rush to avert tragedy. Children see a dirty car and they write "wash me" in the grime. And it works in reverse, too. My brother once spotted our youngest sister making her bed, something he never did, as he walked past her room. "If Mom and Dad see you doing that," he warned, "they will expect you to keep doing it." "I once was blind, but now I see," wrote John Newton in 1779. In the hour John Newton first believed, he finally got it. He had been lost in the evils of the slave trade, and now he was found. By God's redeeming grace in Jesus Christ, he was found. And he wrote, "It was grace that taught him fear of his own evil occupation, taught him to see what he was doing against God. And in the moment he saw Jesus with his heart, that grace of forgiveness relieved his fears." And John Newton never traded slaves again. But of course, seeing something does not automatically translate into getting it. Jesus complained about that to the disciples when, shortly after witnessing Jesus feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and a few fish, they worried about having only 1 loaf of bread for their fishing trip. "Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember? In Mark 10:36, Jesus asked James and John the same questions he now asks Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? Do you remember what they asked of him? Power. They wanted power. When you become Messiah, Jesus, we want you to appoint us to your cabinet so we can sit up there with you and share your power. They were still thinking he would raise an army, kick the Romans out of Judea, make Israel powerful again. So Jesus had to tell them again, for the third time in the book of Mark, no, you don't get it. This cup you want to share with me, it's going to lead to suffering, not power. The disciples do not yet see that Jesus is walking in solidarity with the poor, the misfits, the criminals, the blind beggars, not with the rich and powerful. The kingdom of God is different. In God's kingdom, the powerful are weak, the poor are rich. The politics are all upside down from our own. Jesus has been trying to tell them that. And now, as he heads for Jerusalem, the disciples are becoming frightened. Well, Bartimaeus gets it. In a moment of inner vision, he sees Jesus with his heart, and whatever skepticism he had vanishes. It's an ironic contrast, isn't it? The blind Bartimaeus, seeing, in which the disciples, in a way in which the disciples remain blind. This faith of Bartimaeus is a personal faith, the desperate cry, have mercy, the raw need that makes you assertive and pushy and insistent. And in his need and his desperate belief, Bartimaeus is actually fearless. He shouts out, calling Jesus the Son of David, three times. Jesus, Son of David, the anointed King of Israel in its days of glory. Israel's occupied by Rome. This is a bold and seditious claim to make in the territories that are ruled by the Roman Emperor, who claims to be himself God. Bartimaeus is fearless. And up until now, Jesus had warned those he healed to be discreet about what he has done for them. But by this time in the story, Jesus has already turned his face toward Jerusalem. The days of instructing those he heals to tell no one are over. He will soon be riding into Jerusalem with the throngs echoing exactly what Bartimaeus has just announced. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessing is the coming kingdom of our ancestor, David. In his fearless need, Bartimaeus has set the stage for that. But we also hear that healing is not the end of Bartimaeus' story, because the gift of new sight is transforming. You see things differently, and there is no going back to blindness. So the story about healing is also a story about call. Bartimaeus follows this guy Jesus with the upside-down politics and social order. Bartimaeus follows him along the way that includes suffering and servanthood and death. Have you had such a time in your own life when you've experienced new sight, a new view of the world or your community or a loved one or of yourself that has completely changed your understanding? The experience is often painful. Shane Claiborne, co-founder of the Simple Way community in inner city Philadelphia, recalls the day he got it about the message of Jesus. "I was homecoming king at my high school. I was cool, headed for medical school and success in life. Then I got it about Jesus and what Jesus was teaching, and it wrecked my life. In the kingdom of God, the cool prom king became a servant." A few years later, when he was a grad student at Eastern University outside of Philadelphia, Shane and his friends read about a group of homeless people that the Roman Catholic Diocese of Philadelphia was evicting from an abandoned cathedral. The homeless in Philadelphia had been living on the streets, and a law had been passed by the city that they could no longer live and sleep on the streets. So they had moved in to this Catholic cathedral, and now the diocese was kicking them out of the cathedral. The students went downtown to give the families support, and they stayed. They worshiped with them. They shared a meal with them. They stayed afterward to talk and sing freedom songs together. Every weekend, after the students returned bringing food, toys, clothing, support, and the group became family. The students, including Shane, gained a new understanding of the power of Christian community. And there's a story that the city had decided getting the poor and the homeless to move out of this cathedral was to find fire code violations. And so the students stayed for several days and nights working frantically to bring the cathedral up to standard with the fire code. And they were not at all ready for this inspection that was coming the following day. And someone knocked on the door, and when it was opened, there were firemen standing outside. And they immediately became very apprehensive and said, "Oh, the inspection isn't until tomorrow. We're not ready for you." And the firemen said, "No, we're the volunteer firemen, and we're here to help you bring the building up to code." So this power of community then began to extend out into the city of Philadelphia. The students lived in the neighborhood. Shane now still lives in the neighborhood. And it's a neighborhood that lives in poverty still, but it embraces empowerment and hope. Together, they're planning urban gardens. They're buying abandoned houses from the city, and as a community, raising money and working together to renovate themselves for the homeless. They run after-school programs for children and summer camps, and so supply tutors, and serve meals in an open and feed and clothe the homeless in the neighborhood. Saul, persecutor of Christians. Saul was struck by a blinding light on the road to Damascus. After 3 days, his sight was restored, but Paul was never the same again. His vision and his life were changed forever. When have you seen someone in a new light and be called to do something new and different? Such a vision is often a surprise. When I was a child, I read the story of the boy Samuel, and I just longed to be called by God. I prayed and even left little messages for God. sort of like leaving cookies for Santa. If the cookies are gone, you know Santa has been there. But I did not hear God calling me then. I didn't even hear him later when I was deciding on a career. I never recognized that my passion and my gifts for therapy had anything to do with the call from God. Many years later, when I was reading Paul's first letter to the Corinthians as I finished my first year of disciple Bible study, I suddenly saw. I got it. I had read those passages so many times before, but now all the words about different gifts and how that diversity is essential to the body of Christ had a new and personal meaning for me. My gifts. I was in that moment powerfully gripped by the understanding that all the career choices I thought I had been making on my own had something to do with God's call to me. And seeing that, everything changed. I began to see my mental health training and gifts as belonging to God, not me. And eventually I ended up in seminary. Seeing changed my life, and it has been joyful, but not easy. That's what New Sight is supposed to do, change your life. Getting it about Jesus is earth-shaking. Kindness, compassion, caring for justice are not intended to be theoretical principles, but a way of life. And Bartimaeus sees. He puts himself out there. He asks Jesus for sight. And then he throws down his only possession and follows Jesus because he gets it. Let us pray. Surprising and earth-shaking God, open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Give us a passion for your kingdom and a will to seek justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly in your way. And give us grace that in so seeing and so hearing, we can allow you to transform our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.